Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it bad? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming, what the hell at my TV for telling me, yeah. Am I the only one not brainwashed? Making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did. Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more, yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. The only one.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. Sorry for the long opening this afternoon or this evening. We're joined by that no-pork-eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here, as always.
It certainly is. It's a little bit better than the breaking news that's coming out with regards to Facebook, TikTok, and Messenger, and Instagram. I just read this on Twitter. a tweet was sent out. Facebook employees reportedly can't enter buildings to evaluate the internet outage because their door access badges weren't working. Holy guacamole.
What, were they unvaccinated?
There must have been a virus. Yeah, man, this is like big news all day today. I guess this afternoon around noontime, Facebook went out, and you continue to get this message. I don't go on Facebook. Let me see. I got it up here. I think it's gonna. Wait a minute. It's back up. Oh, it appears that Facebook is back up.
Well, you can't leave the attics without it for very long, or they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I know,
every
man.
Every drug dealer knows that. You don't turn off your supply, your clients. They need the drug. They need the Facebook. They need the Twitter. Turn it on, Zuckerberg. Turn it on. So
it is a message that
has passed through the nation.
A message is coming up. Something went wrong. And I think it's happening. I think it's happening again, as a matter of fact. And it's just kind of funny. Everybody's like, "Oh, whoa, what's going on?" And then all the stuff came out with what possibly happened. But I thought it was kind of ironic, isn't it, that Facebook goes down. The anti-vax movement is on the rise around America, in the UK, Australia, the Netherlands, and it's all being broadcasted on Facebook and Instagram and TikToks. And Florida Governor DeSantis is suing Facebook. And so isn't it kind of ironic that all of this happens and the entire, social media platform goes the Facebook-owned social media platform goes down. So it's kind of ironic.
Well, and I think it all started with two NBA players, Isaac from the Magic and then LeBron James, of all people. They both put in their disagreements with the COVID shot, and it started something. Maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back, they say.
Oh, you know what? It's interesting you bring up that. Okay, so since you brought that up, I am going to play that clip. I went on to YouTube and I was looking up. I saw all across Twitter a couple of days ago last week with regards to the NBA player. His name is Isaac. I don't know his first name, but I think he plays for the Orlando Magic. So I went on the line and went. Oh, he does. Okay, so and I picked up watched a couple of videos, and here's one about tell me if you catch something on this. You got to listen to this. So here's this NBA player, Isaac from the Orlando Magic, and he's a very articulate young man. And I have to say, I was impressed with him in watching the multiple videos, and he makes some valid points. So here we go.
Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac says he's not anti-vaccine, but he does not want to get the COVID shot, and he stands by his decision.
I thank God. I'm grateful that I live in a society where vaccines are possible, and we can protect ourselves and have the means to protect ourselves in the first place. But with that being said, it is my belief that the vaccine status of every person should be their own choice.
Isaac is responding to a Rolling Stone article that labeled him an anti-vaxxer. He says it's a misrepresentation.
I didn't come to my current vaccination status by studying Black history or watching Donald Trump press conferences. I have nothing but the utmost respect for every healthcare worker and person in Orlando.
Isaac isn't vaccinated against COVID-19, but he had COVID and believes he has the antibodies to fight off another possible infection.
The craziness of it all, in terms of not being able to say that it should be everybody's fair choice without being demeaned or talked crazy to.
NBA isn't requiring players to get the shot, but they are encouraging it by setting certain protocols. Unvaccinated players won't be able to eat, fly, or ride buses with their vaccinated teammates. Other Magic players respect Isaac's decision.
I'm vaccinated myself. My family's vaccinated. I would encourage people to do their research and to do what they think is best for them and others.
The NBA says 90% of the league is fully vaccinated. Reporting from the Amway Center, Jessica Ely, Fox 35 Sports.
Okay, so Al, I listened to like four of this young man, Jonathan Isaac, give his speaking. Okay, and then suddenly, I come across this clip, and it was actually a Fox affiliate, and I thought, well, that's pretty good. And I said, geez, something's missing. So I listened to it again. And then I listened to it one more time, and it's like, son of a gun. They spiked the story. They spiked the part about the antibodies. He was, you know, Jonathan Isaac was very clear from what he's read, okay? What he's read is that the people who have the antibodies have a stronger immunity than the artificial means of being, you know, the gene therapy, the vaccination. And so that part was absolutely glossed over. And it's funny because when you listen to a lot of the reports that are out there and the interviews like CNN had with Sanjay Gupta and the fraud Fauci couldn't answer. Now, here's a guy who's supposed to be the chief medical guy, the chief, you know, Chinese virus guru, and 18 months, 20 months has gone by, and he can't answer the question that was put forth to him, even by Sanjay Gupta, who asked him, well, if you have the antibodies, the natural immunity, it's stronger, what you say? And, well, I really don't know. What do you mean you really don't know? You know, this entire campaign, this fraudulent campaign by these chiselers in Washington, D.C., including the bumbling Biden, who will not even acknowledge the fact that if you have the antibodies, you actually have a stronger immune system or stronger immunity, okay, from the Chinese virus than you do from the artificial means of being jabbed. And all this guy was doing, Jonathan Isaac, he did his due diligence, okay? You know, it's just like Islam. We challenge you to read our book. Read the Quran. Okay, you read it and you say, well, wait a minute. Oh, my God. Chapter 4, verse 84. You know, go to war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on anybody. So provoke the believers. Provoke the believers. It's exactly what ISIS is doing. It's exactly what the Taliban is doing. It's exactly what Al-Qaeda is doing. It's exactly what Iran's doing. And it's like, well, no, you don't understand Arabic. Okay, so now you don't understand the medical jargon that's being thrown out there. Either you've built the antibodies, okay, as a result of having the China virus, which is going to be a greater fending off of any future variants than the artificial means of being jabbed. And it turns out that you have a less than 1% chance of recontracting the China virus. You have a 44% chance of contracting the China virus if you've gotten the jab. I mean, this is insane. And, you know, they literally spiked this story. It was a very good clip, and I wish I would have uploaded the other clip, the full clip with Jonathan Isaac stating, I had COVID back in January. I have the antibodies. So this guy has done everything right. And now he's going to be segregated against. And it's okay now for the NBA, for the white leaders of the NBA, okay, to segregate the players from each other. If you're unvaccinated, you don't ride on the same bus. If you're unvaccinated, you don't ride on the same plane. If you're unvaccinated, you don't eat with the vaccinated people. You have to take different cars in there. Well, you know what? These millionaires can afford to take different cars, but there's the unity part of it. Let's discriminate against the unvaccinated. Make them lepers. You know, the new form of leprosy in America today by the left-wing Communist Party, that would be the Democrat Communist Party, is to label people having leprosy if they don't get vaccinated. It's just incredible. I found it's just absolutely ironic that you know, that part of the story was spiked.
Well, it's the most important part.
Right?
Yeah. It's the most important part because the natural antibodies, like Mr. Isaac said, they are stronger than the vaccine. And we've learned by now, due to all the boosters that we have to take with every variant, that the shot itself lasts for, what, maybe 4 to 6 months? We were told it has an efficacy rate of 4 to 6 months.
Yes.
That means that it works for 4 to 6 months. And then after that, even if you've been vaccinated, you can still get the virus and transmit it to other people.
Which is happening
probably
today.
Yeah, and probably I'd venture to say that if you have been vaccinated, the other benefit is that your symptoms, once you catch the virus again, is not as severe. You might get the sniffles. You won't be laid up in bed for 2 days. So if you are vaccinated and you contract the virus again, you're going to run around like it's nothing. Oh, I got the sniffles. So what? It's not going to really impact me. But meanwhile, you're infecting everybody around you. You become your own super spreader, either because you don't know or you don't feel bad or you're invincible because you got the virus shot.
Well, that's the program, isn't it? The program is to get vaccinated and you will not have as severe of side effects. Okay, people have been dying after getting the Chinese virus vaccination. People have died. Well, we're not going to talk about that, okay? We're not going to talk about the side effects from it. We're not going to talk about the leg thrombosis and the blood clots that are occurring. And, you know, just like Dr. Lamont Hill was out there and he was poking fun, and he was absolutely chastising those people who aren't vaccinated. He gets he got vaccinated. He's got thrombosis, blood clots, and he's got COVID. Oh, and it's still the people who are unvaccinated's fault. You know, this is the hysteria that's been created by this fraudulent government, including the fraud Fauci. And for Fauci to sit there to Gupta and say to him, well, I don't know how to answer that. Oh, you mean you're this genius, the guru of the China virus, and you mean to tell me you can't be honest and tell people and say it even on DNC CNN, you can't say that having the antibodies is a natural immunity? You can't even bring yourself to say that. This is a scam. We're being lied to. We're absolutely being lied to. They've instilled fear into the hearts of the disbelievers.
Now, I had this conversation with a friend of mine who's a professor at a university who is vaccinated. He says, oh, I should go get vaccinated. And I said, all right, well, answer me this. I said, all right, you're vaccinated. Can you still contract the virus and transmit it to other people? And he's like, oh, well, actually starts going on, if I do get it, then it's less. I said, no. I said, can you contract the virus and transmit it to other people? Eventually he said yes. I said, the unvaccinated can also contract the virus and give it to other people and transmit it to other people. They are both equal. The vaccinated and the unvaccinated are equal. And after 20 minutes of going back and forth, he finally begrudgingly agreed that they are both equal.
You see?
And I challenge anybody to come back and tell me that, A, if you're vaccinated, you can still contract the virus, transmit to other people, and the same for the unvaccinated. And I challenge anybody, if they can prove to me that statement is not factual, come on, call in and tell me why I'm a moron, because I want to hear it.
I think it's kind of funny, Al. You know, that's all it takes is some rational thought. You know, all it takes, I believe that we're being duped. And, you know, I look at the world Omita, the Corona world Omita. So America's population is 333,437,210 people. This is as of this morning. The total cases of the China virus, 44,518,437. That is just over 13% of the population since February of 2020. Okay, let's just say March of 2020. Okay, just January 29th or 27th was the State of the Union by President Trump. So 13% of the population has contracted the Chinese virus. 33,938,000 of the 44,500,000 people have recovered from the China virus. There's been 719,933 deaths. from the China virus and also from car accidents and motorcycle accidents listed as you know, China virus deaths. Okay, so 33,938,000 people have recovered. If we have over 55% of the American people now have gotten jabbed, that means that 166 million people have received some form of shot, okay? And we shut down an entire economy for today being a total of 44,518,000 people contracting the China virus. Conversely, China, you know how many people China has 1.439 billion people. And you know how many cases of the China virus they've had? 96,231 cases. And the virus originated in China. They then brought that virus to the rest of the world, and they've only had 96,000 cases and only 4,600 people died. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I don't believe anything that comes out of that commie nation.
I don't. God, you're so cynical. You're so cynical.
I am.
So we have a caller.
How do we get where we're at? We got where we are because this has been deemed a public health emergency. So under Section 319 of the PHS Act, the secretary has declared a public health emergency consistent with his other statutory authorities. He can take such action as may be appropriate to respond to the PHE, the public health emergency, including making grants, entering contracts, conducting and supporting investigations. And it also gives great responsibility to mayors, council members, where they can also make rules. And this is what's happening all over the country, where the mayors are saying they're doing the mandates, but they're doing them on steroids like Governor Newsom. He's a king among himself. And that is what's happening with the mayors. And it's got to stop. It has got to stop.
Yeah, it really does. This whole thing has got to stop. It's absolutely ridiculous, Al. It's what we're seeing, the fear that's being instilled. And, you know, the one thing that was really heartening to see. Now, usually we start off with sports. We start PGA golf, and you know, congratulations to Sam Burns. He took that tournament yesterday, winning the Sanderson Farms Classic. He took charge of the tournament yesterday. Never looked back. He did waver. He did falter on the 18th hole, but he had a 2-shot lead. He ends up winning by 1 shot over veteran tour player Nick Watney. It's really good to see Nick Watney back and playing well, and rookie Cameron Young. Good for Cameron, his highest finish on the PGA Tour. But college football on Saturday. Now, because of Hank, I have to say, I'm going to be hosting Hank's show this Wednesday at 5:30. So I had to watch the college football games, and I did. I watched Alabama roll over Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss. That was kind of nice to see. Although, man, opening drive, Ole Miss looked like, you know, they were going to really take it to Alabama, and then Bama woke up, and the defense just stopped them. Number two, Georgia trounced number 9 Arkansas.
Their defense.
Yeah,
awesome.
That was a shutout. Boom.
37.
Oregon got beat by Stanford. Looked at that game. I thought, you know what? Stanford could win this game, and they did. And the same with the next one, which was the University of Kentucky beating the Florida Gators, who were highly touted and highly ranked. And I think, you know what? I think Gators are overrated. I think they're overrated.
Always have been. Nobody likes the Gators. Gators suck.
And then Hank's Hawkeyes, the Iowa Hawkeyes, man, they put a hurting on Maryland, 51-14. They said that was going to be close, but it really wasn't. Iowa just destroyed them. Penn State blanked Indiana in a conference game, 24-0. Michigan handed Wisconsin its second loss in a row. They won that game big. And the Cincinnati Bearcats beat Notre Dame 24-13. That was a real big upset.
Yep.
But you...
Dude.
So where I'm going with this is the stadiums were packed. The college football stadiums were packed. People have had enough.
I'm sure everybody was wearing masks and everybody was 6 feet apart. because Fauci says so. No, that wasn't the case.
Well, the stadiums might be 6 feet apart, but I mean the Alabama stadium that I looked at. I mean, when they were panning that, you know, panning back, there was the place was absolutely packed. Georgia, the Bulldogs, that stadium was packed. The Cincinnati stadium against Notre Dame, that was packed. I don't know how. Hank's adopted team, the University of Central Florida, got beat by Navy. 34-30, yeah. Go Navy. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if that stadium was packed, but I know that the Kentucky game was packed. Oregon, Stanford, that, I mean, that was a pretty packed stadium. So, you know, people are saying enough is enough. And it's what's ironic about this whole thing, as Holger says, the vaccinated can only contract the virus from the unvaccinated. So, I mean, so we have 333,400,000 people, and we've had 44,518,000 cases since February of 2020. A 99.7% survival rate. And we are being told that we have to stay indoors. We are being told we have to wear a mask. Now that fraud Fauci is saying he's not sure if we can gather for Christmas. And again, it's the left wing who are attacking Christian holidays, family gatherings, you know, who are usurping our First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech, the freedom to peaceably assemble. I mean, who in the hell does he think he is, where he's going to tell us that we can't gather for Christmas? Now, I know if he was Jewish, it would be one thing. But the fact is, the guy's Italian. So he came from, I'm sure, Catholic roots. Give me a break. You know, this whole thing, we are being duped. And I don't buy this shit anymore. I really don't. I don't buy it anymore.
It's a public health emergency.
Yeah.
They have every legal right to do what they're doing. Until we, the people, say no.
And they let the unvaccinated in. They let the illegal aliens, 1 million, 1.3 million unvaccinated illegal aliens have entered the country, and it's the American people who are unvaccinated who are the problem? When, in fact, these strains, they want to call it the Delta strain, but they won't call it the real strain, the Brazilian strain. They won't call it by the South American roots, these strains. No, of course not. Let's call it the Delta. Let's make it as innocuous as possible and disarm the American people so that they think that this strain is just another bad element of the China virus. When in fact the strain is coming from Brazil. Oh, and guess who the second most populous country aside from India that's having some issues with the China virus? Oh, son of a gun. So let's call it the Delta variant.
Let's see. Yeah, so let's see. We have illegal aliens coming in through our border without being tested, looked at, and then dispersed across the country. We're having college football games and NFL football games with the stands full of people right next to each other yelling and screaming and spewing their air everywhere. And Dr. Fauci says that we can't, as a family, get together for the holidays.
Right. Right. So college football games are bad. Trump rallies are big spreaders. Obama birthday bashes are not a super spreader. And anything that the liberals do, like a Joe Biden town hall, well, and that's a bad example because only 12 people go. Sorry, that's probably a bad example. We got a call. You want to take it?
Well, it's fear. I mean, the headline in the Sunday paper and my local paper, virus deaths eclipse 700,000 in the United States.
Okay.
All right. So somebody reads that, they're going to go, holy shit, this thing's bad and it's real and it's going to keep on coming. Screw the unvaccinated.
Right. That's the idea.
Yep.
That's the idea. You know, you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that came out and said all players who aren't vaccinated should be suspended from the team and not get paid. Really? Okay, so here's a guy who changes his religious beliefs from being the Christian belief as Lou Alcinda, and he changes his religious belief to Islam. And no one ever said anything. He was just thrown out of the game or the sport. Matter of fact, he's still heralded as one of the greatest in the NBA of all time. I mean, I know I followed him when he was playing. I couldn't really give a crap. He was a great player. He was a great college player as Lou Alcinda. He was very good, obviously, in the pros, and then changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So should he have been suspended for changing his religion?
No, of course not.
Of course not. You know, and people like Jonathan Isaac of the Magic, Orlando Magic, who did his due diligence, because after all, we're told that we should read. We're told that we should investigate for ourselves. We're told that we should look at the science. And so this young man goes out and looks at the science and then has the audacity to hold a press conference during media day and make a statement that's contrary to the fear-mongering that's going on in the United States, especially by the chief idiot in the White House, bumbling Biden. And now the guy's being excoriated for it. Jeez.
Not only him, but all the unvaccinated people with natural antibodies, most of them have. Pretty soon they're going to stop domestic flights. That's on the on-deck circle. That's ready to be teed up.
Well, and I just heard a report today that was being floated out there that bumbling Biden and his tyrannical government may require vaccine passports still. I mean, this is outrageous. This is tyrannical. This is what goes on in communist China and the Soviet Union, the ex-Soviet Union. I mean, this is out of control. Okay, first of all, this frail old fraud didn't get 81 million votes. I'm now convinced of it. Okay, but now he's doing the work for the scumbag swamp that's out there, pulling the strings for this little puppet to read from a teleprompter. Okay, and now he's issuing anti-constitutional edicts, unilateral edicts, and scaring the crap out of the American people. I mean, you want to talk about anti-constitutional? The Obama-Biden administration was anti-constitutional, and the Biden-Harris-Obama administration is also anti-constitutional. Everything they falsely accuse President Trump of being a tyrannical leader, being a dictator, is exactly what Joe Biden is. And he gave a press conference today. He sounded like an angry little old man, and he gives a half-assed kind of press conference, and he has the same old left-wing progressive jargon. It's divide, it's tax the rich, and then he starts to give this lesson about deficit spending and then lies through his false teeth. I mean, there's nothing real about this guy. And then you've got Baghdad Bob Jensaki when she's asked the question about Hunter Biden, the new revelation that's come out about him wanting a $2 million stipend and dealing with the Chinese government. And somebody asked the question, you know, during the campaign, Joe Biden was campaigning and said that he would not allow this type of lobbying with his family members with any foreign countries. And then she looks at you with that stupid ass smirk. And she goes, well, to my knowledge, there's not and that doesn't answer the question. So then, of course, the newsreader decides to ask the question again. Oh, I just answered. It's time to move on. Oh, you didn't answer the question. You didn't answer the question. The fact is that Joe Biden speaks at all three sides of his mouth. He's nothing but a little lie. The little dictator is a liar. And he lied about the $400,000 taxes and not won. He lied about the vaccines. He's lied about the budget. He lies. I mean, the guy is just a habitual chronic liar. He's an absolute disgrace. I have a soundbite from him. Speaking of the $400,000, okay, here's Little Caesar. I got I uploaded it earlier. If you have any doubts about Biden and his 400,000, so here you have Joe Biden speaking during the campaign, and you know he makes a meaningless and empty soundbite. And the soundbite is, if you make more than $400,000 a year, less than $400,000 a year, you're not going to be taxed one penny. And then he has the audacity to say, "I give you my word as a Biden." Like, okay, your word as a Biden is worth anything? I mean, you're nothing. I mean, here you go. I'm sorry, folks. If you're eating, put your fork down. Stop eating. I mean, it's more of the same from the frail old fraud.
Let's talk about the economy.
Yes.
You are proposing several trillion dollars in new spending over the next decade for economic relief, education, health care. How are you going to pay for that?
By writing the tax code. You got billionaires in this country making $700 billion during this crisis. $700 billion.
He wants to terminate the tax cuts that we gave you. So that
the former vice president has pledged to undo the Trump tax cuts for corporations and wealthy Americans. He'd raise the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%. He'd also raise taxes on people making more than $400,000 a year, and the top rate would be 39.6%.
Nobody making less than $400,000 will pay a penny more in tax under my proposal.
That's a promise.
That's a guarantee, a promise. I'm giving my word as a Biden. That's an absolute guarantee.
There you go. It's an absolute guarantee, and it's an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. The $3.5 trillion-plus spending spree by this Congress, that this nasty Pelosi-led and Chuck Schumer-led Congress, they're spending over $3.5 trillion, trillion with a T, okay? And they're imposing taxes on the American people that you would not even believe that are buried in the 2,500 pages of this spending spree, this irresponsible, reckless spending spree. That's what it is. It's a reckless spending spree by the Democrat Communist Party. $1.3 billion for media bailout. I was mowing the lawn the other day, and I'm thinking about this $1.3 billion bailout, okay, by this reckless Congress led by nasty Pelosi. And think about this, Al. During the debates that happened in 2020, Minnie Mike Bloomberg was running for president, okay? So on the stage was Pocahontas Warren, was Pete Buttcheeks, was Amy Klobuchar, and bumbling Biden, and of course Minnie Mike Bloomberg. And Minnie Mike Bloomberg lets it slip out that in 2018, he spent $60 million of his money plus to support candidates to give Nancy Pelosi back the majority in the House. Okay, so we can now blame Minnie Mike Bloomberg for turning this country into going down the road of communism, but turning into a socialist Marxist country, because he made sure that the candidates running for the House had a Marxist mentality. He said it. He said, I invested $60 million to elect House members to give Nancy Pelosi the majority. And then in 2020, in the 2020 general election, after Minnie Mike Bloomberg got defeated in the primary, he spent over $100 million of his money, okay, to elect Democrats to the United States Senate and the United States House, and also to get bumbling Biden into the White House. So I believe it was to the tune of $250 million. Now, this is the guy who owns Bloomberg News. And I'm thinking, here you have a free market, a free newspaper. We're supposed to be free, okay? It's supposed to be a free media. The government doesn't own any newspapers, although the DNC now owns pretty much ABC, NBC, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, NPR, National Propaganda Radio, and of course they have their outlet. Okay, so, but the government doesn't own any and doesn't control any. What is the federal government doing in bailing out the media, the news media in America? What are they doing? Why are they taking taxpayer money to bail out the media in this country? We have a free media. If the media can't make it on its own, guess what? They go out of business. How is it that Newsmax, how is it that OANN can make it? And if MSNBC, the DNC MSNBC, has a 0.2 share now and is going down the tubes, why do they get a bailout? The same with DNC CNN. If they can only capture 300,000 people a night and you have Fox News capturing 3 million people a night, then maybe the content of DNC CNN is bad. And yet the federal government is going to use American taxpayer money to bail out the news media in this country. That is unheard of. Okay? That is absolutely tyrannical. That is a form of communism to buy off the news media. Why? Because they fucking spike the stories about Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, huh? How does it come out now a year later or less than a year later that what the New York Post ran was absolutely true? Huh? Huh? Where is the media retract this, or where is Facebook? Where is Twitter reinstating the New York Post and allowing them to print the article in Twitter of about Hunter Biden? And the Biden a hard drive, huh? Where is it? Nowhere to be found. But in the meantime, we have a nasty Pelosi-led Congress who is going to put up $1.3 billion of taxpayer money to bail out the media in this country. And last week, I go by two churches that are holding food drives. They're holding food pantries, food pantries. The parking lots are filled. In one of them, I counted 97 cars waiting in line for food, and the fucking cars were wrapped around the road to try to get in. Those weren't part of the 97 cars. And we're spending $1.3 billion to bail out a free media. And people are starving in America. People are having to go to food pantries to get free food. This is unconscionable what we're seeing today. Unconscionable. This destructive Democrat Communist Party is looking to tear apart this country, to divide this country. They're using the vaccinated to divide from the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated now are lepers of the 21st century. The reckless, irresponsible spending of this Congress and this executive branch is disgusting. It's an absolute disgrace. And remember, it was Joe Biden who said, we're not going to spend $400,000. I give you my word. I give you my word as a Biden. Well, his word as a Biden means nothing. They're going to tax the individual. The proposal is to tax individuals 8 cents a mile, a mileage, a road tax. Ladies and gentlemen, the first proposal for this road tax was under the Obama-Biden regime. And now it's been regurgitated under the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have conspired to put this legislation inside this $3.5 plus trillion dollar spending spree. If you make over $400,000 a year, your taxes aren't going to be raised one penny, as Lion Biden stated. No, it's going to be raised by the dollars, by the $10. You will be charged 8 cents a mile, okay? And the amounts will vary depending on your vehicle. And the proposal under the Obama-Biden regime was for an electronic transfer of your money when you go to the pump and you go to pump gas. And they will do an electronic transfer from your account for the amount of miles that you've driven. How's that, huh? Huh? You've got $75 in your checking account. You're a person who is working two jobs. You're paying your rent. And the government figured out that you've driven 200 miles in this last month. Okay, you go from home to job one, you go back home, and then you go to job two, and you spend so 8 cents a mile. So now you're gonna be taken at $16 will be taken right out of your account electronically before you're able to pour any gas into your gas tank. Oh, and by the way, it now costs you $42 to fill up your tank. So now it's $68. You have $7 in your account left. So what? The government raped you, and you did it with a smile. Nancy Pelosi is eating her $13 a pint ice cream out of her $24,000 refrigerator freezer. This is how reckless and how out of control our government has gotten. People are lined up at food pantries waiting for food because they can't afford groceries anymore. And then you've got this out-of-control government who is going to charge you and me 8 cents a mile as a road tax. And lying Biden used as a slogan, 400,000. Where'd you come up with $400,000? It sounded good when I said it. And then I stuck with it because that's all I can remember. Oh, man, Al, this is absolutely incredible, man. This is absolutely, it's sickening what we're seeing today. Mini Mike Bloomberg is to blame. The Republican Party is to blame. We have a swamp that is so sordid. And yet they all want to impose all of these Marxist communist programs and make people indentured to the federal government. It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. I haven't even spoken about Kristi Noem being dragged through the mud right now by the DNC media. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. You know, here it is. The DNC media wants a bailout. And, of course, with Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives, they can put any type of bailout in there. And they are paying back. They are greasing the palms of their media outlets because they carried the water to install this feckless old fraud, Biden.
And then on the flip side, lead story, state cities slow to spend federal aid. Review, cash from America Rescue Plan still in the coffers. So as Congress considered a massive COVID-19 relief package earlier this year, hundreds of mayors from across the U.S. pleaded for, quote, immediate action on billions of dollars targeted to shore up their finances and revive their communities. And this is all part of the, and this isn't even part of the $3.5 trillion package. And now that they've received the money, the local officials are taking their time before actually spending the windfall. And as of this summer, Vito, a majority of large cities and states hadn't spent a penny from the American Rescue Plan championed by the Democrats and President Joe Biden, according to a review by the Associated Press of the first financial reports due under the law. States had spent just 2.5% of their initial allotment, while large cities spent 8.5%, according to the AP analysis. And now President Biden wants to take another $3.5 trillion of taxpayer dollars to give to cities and states that can't even spend what they've already got from the other billion-dollar package, multi-billion-dollar package. It's insanity. And who's going to pay for it all? We are, with tax hikes that you talked about so perfectly.
Well, and think about it. So are there states that are being fiscally responsible knowing that the hammer is going to drop, the bubble could burst? And what happens when the bubble bursts, okay, and they've absolutely squeezed their taxpayers, their state citizens to the core, and now the federal government is going to grease them up, grease the taxpayers up even more, and take the very last drop out of them. And we're supposed to believe that President Trump was bad. You know, this is what the feckless old fraud did today, Biden, you know, when he held his news conference. He blamed Trump. This is what these frauds do. This is what these progressive frauds do. They blame everybody else, okay? He's never met a tax he didn't like. And let's face it, Biden's been in Congress for, what, 42 years, and then he was 8 years as vice president. All the guy knows is tax and spend. This is the progressive program. Tax and spend, and then demonize your opposition because he doesn't have a real thought in his fragile brain. And so let's use the same old taglines that have failed the American people for 70 years, and that is tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. In the meantime, it is the middle class, it is the working poor that pay dearly. And if he had any type of what would you say, economic brains in that whatever cells that are left in his frail old fraud brain, You know, he would understand that what happened with President Trump, but he does, you know what? And it goes back to our conversation that we had last week. Now, and that was Biden does know what he's doing. And you know, he's perceived as being this frail old fraud, but he reads a teleprompter very well. And he knows what he's doing. There's no doubt in my mind. There's nothing accidental anymore. He's doing exactly what he was programmed to do. And to make these proposals and then stand behind the same old tired progressive taglines, regurgitating the same failed policies. And what we saw in 2017 was President Trump lowering the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%, leading that charge. And the only good thing that Paul Ryan did in the House as Speaker of the House was to see that measure through. And what did it do? It spurred economic growth in America. What did it do? It spurred investment back into America. And much to the dismay of the sordid swamp in Washington, D.C., it actually did what it was supposed to do. And it was a promise that candidate Trump and President Trump kept, and it worked. Why? Because he had economic brains. He understands economics. He's not going to live by the same old failed policies that the progressive left has put in place. But you know what? Empowering Americans is bad. Giving Americans more of what they earn is bad. You know, taking the SNAP program, and that would be your food stamp program, reducing the food stamp program from 49% dependency to 31% dependency is bad. Waking up the African-American community, the black community, leaving the Democrat Communist Party plantation, and not by one or two, but in droves, because they realized they were lied to, is bad. So let's create a race war again. Let's, you know, so Obama steps up to the plate and makes sure that there's a race war, and indicting President Trump, who's never been a racist, mind you, never ever has he been accused of being a racist in the 50 years that the man has been in New York City. Matter of fact, NAACP had gave him two awards, including one award with Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks, who is the champion of civil rights. That's how fraudulent the progressives are. The pollution of progressive politics. And now the polluter today is Joe Biden. The polluter today is Nancy Pelosi. The polluter today is Chuck Schumer. They are lying to the American people, but they have the purse strings and they are pulling them. But the American people are starting to fight back, and they, the sordid swamp, doesn't like it. So it's time to create another Chinese virus outbreak. The Mu variant now, Mu variant. Is a variant that came up from that emanated in Colombia and Ecuador. Isn't that ironic? Where did most of the Haitians come from? Colombia and Ecuador. Where are the caravans coming from? They're coming through Colombia. Isn't that ironic? And guess what? Mayorkas, that failed treasonous SOB, sought to allowing illegal aliens to come into this country to the tune of 1.3 million. And then he has the balls to sit in front of the United States Senate and flat out lie. We don't have a crisis at the border. Really? And then he gets Sheila Jackass Lee to parrot the same false phrase. This is an absolute disgrace what we're seeing today. This, I think we have a seditious government right now. It's bordering on treason. And I think it's treasonous. Certainly General Milley is one treasonous SOB. And he worked in conjunction with the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, to undermine then President Trump. And it just continues. I mean, we can point to how many different things that are occurring today. And I never thought that our government would be this corrupt, that they would absolutely try to dismantle our constitutional republic, a brilliant scheme that ran this country for 234 years successfully. successfully. We have a caller. I'm going to take him cold. How's that?
Bring him on. Or her.
Good evening. Welcome to Global Patriot Radio. How are you? You there? Caller? 813?
Hello?
Hello? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That was Hunter. Where's my laptop? Oh, Giuliani's got it. And why hasn't he released it yet?
I think
everybody should send Rudy Giuliani a Twitter now that it's up and running again, or send him a Facebook message now that that's up and running again. Send him a message saying, Mayor, release the laptop. America
Twitter
wants
never
to
went
know.
Down. Oh, and you know what? One other thing with regards to the spending spree by this reckless and irresponsible government. And Belly put it up in the chat room. You've got this government giving tax funds to Planned Parenthood. You know, okay, I personally disagree with it 100%. Okay, but I understand it. Understand it. Okay. When I listened to the hearings that when they were prancing up these people who were in opposition of the Texas abortion law, and they're saying it's the humane thing and it's beautiful to have an abortion. But then you have Planned Parenthood spending millions of dollars in campaign donations. Millions. We're talking about millions. Millions. And now it's like a pass-through. It's a funnel. It's a funneling. It should be charged for the RICO Act by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party, who are funneling funds to the Planned Parenthood to use to fund campaigns around the country. By the way, Democrat Party candidates 99.9% of the time. So now we're talking about funneling money to campaigns. Our own federal government is using Planned Parenthood as a funding vehicle for the Democrat Communist Party. Planned Parenthood should not get one dime, not one penny, not one penny. And I guarantee it. I'll give you my word as Vito Esposito. I wouldn't give Planned Parenthood one dime. If you spend one dime, one penny, one nickel, $1 on funding any campaigns in America, you lose your federal funding. And they're getting a handsome check from the federal government. So that's a good catch, Belly. Thank you for putting that in there. Thank you. I'll tell you, man, this is something that I'd never ever see in my lifetime or in our lifetime. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of things we've never seen in our lifetime happening. In fact, we've got another crisis looming over the border now, or over the flight sight line. China slams U.S. for Taiwan comments. Taiwan belongs to China and vows to crush the independent. So China criticized the U.S. on Monday for comments shared by the U.S. State Department over the weekend calling for China to cease its increasing waves of provocative military flights around the island of Taiwan. And the flights, if you didn't hear, about 56 flights from China were flown over Taiwan in a very aggressive manner. Now, China claims Taiwan is part of its territory and vowed to crush all attempts to assert Taiwan's independence from the Chinese mainland. So people want to know, why is China doing this now? I thought China and America were friends. Well, not at all. They're our enemy. And a lot of this stems, I believe, from Afghanistan and the reckless disregard and poorly mismanaged America withdrawal from Afghanistan signaled nothing but weakness to President Xi of China. So right after we got out of Afghanistan, poorly left hundreds behind, maybe as many as 500 Americans behind, China is now sending flights over Taiwan. And I tell you, it's scary, because this is going to send a signal to our European allies that America does not have their back if we don't do anything to protect Taiwan. What do you think America's going to do?
What do I think it's going to do? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Why? Because Biden is a bought man. China invested a lot of money in Biden and the Biden crime family. Now you've got Hunter Biden, who's seeking $2 million stipend from China. Biden did exactly what China wanted with regards to Afghanistan. And they used the cover of President Trump withdrawal proposal out of Afghanistan as their means of pulling out. How in the world does a little old man, okay, with a very poor foreign policy record spanning 50 years, how does he not listen to his generals, his military people? How does he not do that? And also, President Trump was very clear that what they were negotiating had contingencies to it. And I spoke to a retired colonel. I had lunch with him last week, and he said the same thing. He's the one that said there were contingencies in that proposal. You don't trust the Taliban, one, okay? And he didn't believe that Trump trusted the Taliban. But secondly, there were contingencies in that. And what did General Milquetoast Milley say? What did that fraud Biden say?
Well, we didn't anticipate the Taliban army collapsing as quickly as it did.
Well, excuse me, hold on a second. Whoa. It was Joe Biden who uttered that the famous soundbite that he stuck with for a couple of weeks is, "We've planned for all contingencies," and you can take that as my word as a Biden. You know, we plan for all contingencies. We plan. Well, if you plan for all contingencies, how is it that you didn't know that the Taliban army was going to fold in 12 days? Well, I can tell you how. It's very simple. In late June and early July, the Taliban was advancing to cities around major cities in Afghanistan, the northwestern part, Herat. They took Herat, the Taliban. And what was Biden's response? Do we have a cricket sound? Oh, we do. Yeah, here we go. Here's Biden's response to that. Okay. So in a week, during a week later, the second week of July, the Taliban advances southwest and they take the Kandahar region. Okay. What was Biden's response? Now, mark our words, if the Taliban was about to enter Herat in June, there's no way, shape, or form they would have got a foot inside that city without a response, a stern response, probably an armed response by President Trump. You know it wasn't going to happen because they knew exactly what it meant if they crossed that line, and Trump didn't have to say, he didn't use it as a soundbite. He never did. That was a soundbite by the progressive fools, the communists like Obama, made for great soundbite, and DNC CNN loved it, and DNC MSNBC loved those kind of meaningless soundbites. But President Trump wasn't going to play games. And I don't think that President Trump would have given Bagram Air Force Base either. I really don't believe it because it's a strategic stronghold, and it also provided a close proximity to China to watch. Now, having said that, bumbling Biden is beholden to China. He put together that $2 billion deal for his crackhead son, Hunter. Crackhead Hunter was able to to use some sort of smoke and mirrors. And you don't know how much the Biden crime family has profited from the relationship with China. We do know that China spent $70 million invested, because that's the Washington, D.C. word, invested $70 million in the Biden library. The Biden Foundation, the Biden Foundation, $70 million the Chinese put into the Biden Foundation. Now, You won't hear that from Axios. You won't hear that from Politico, DNC, MSNBC, DNC, CNN. They're not going to report that. I'm sorry, Al, but when you have a former vice president and a candidate for the president of the United States receiving $70 million from a foreign adversary, there is no coincidence that Afghanistan fell and America leaves abruptly. There's no coincidence. I'm sorry. This feckless old fraud has military people who understand the art of war. I mean, this bumbling Biden, this frail, feckless fraud, can't get out of his own way. And he's been wrong on foreign policy his entire 50 years. And even Obama said it. He's been wrong on every issue with regards to foreign policy. And you're telling us that he couldn't follow instruction. He was nixing any type of proposals from his military. And these chimpanzees are still sitting there as joint chiefs of staff and other military leaders are sitting around a table with this fraud. It's just no coincidence anymore. And no. China doesn't have to spill one drop of blood in Afghanistan. They walk into Afghanistan. They now have access to the minerals and to the lithium excavation. They'll build infrastructure there. The Taliban will love it. And at some point, though, the Taliban will turn. But you're talking about a country at 1.4 billion people. And what they did during the Korean War, they'll do in with the Taliban, because they're as ruthless as the Taliban are. There's no goodness in the communist China. They look at everything as control. They look at everything as profit. And they look at everything as theirs. And as soon as they start building that infrastructure in Afghanistan, they'll start taking away parts of Afghanistan. And that border, that 30-mile border, 32-mile border of China becomes 60 miles. It becomes 80 miles. It becomes 120 miles. And what's the Taliban going to do? Huh? What are they going to do? And we're going to see what's going to happen with regards to Taiwan. I have no confidence in Joe Biden whatsoever. I think he's a weak and ineffective man. He tries to act tough. He's been a big man on campus his entire life. We heard that big man on campus with regards to the Ukraine incident and the quid pro quo, and Nancy Pelosi quickly got Adam Schiff for brains and made sure that they went ahead and they impeached President Trump. It failed in the Senate, but it was a distraction, because the real quid pro quo came when the big man on campus had diarrhea of the mouth. And that's what Biden has. He has diarrhea of the mouth. He tries to be this big shit. And yes, you know what? The title is President of the United States, so technically he can claim he's big cheese, but in fact, he's a weak little man. And he's been bought out by the Chinese communists, by the Chinese government, and he will do nothing. And that's why Taiwan, as Boyd said in the chat room, Taiwan requested help from Australia. From Australia. They can't keep their 6 million people under control, and you've got the Taiwanese asking for help from Australia, because they can't. There's nothing to rely on the United States anymore.
Yeah. And there's news reports out of Afghanistan that Bagram Air Force Base, the lights suddenly came on. First time since the Americans left, the lights came on at Bagram, and there are reports of Chinese aircraft flying in and out of Bagram Air Force Base. Now, on Sunday, State Department spokesperson Ned Price said the United States is very concerned about the People's Republic of China's provocative military activity near Taiwan, which is destabilizing, risks miscalculations, and undermines regional peace and stability. We urge Beijing to cease its military, diplomatic, and economic pressure and coercion against Taiwan. Now, in response to these threatening remarks, Price's remarks, Chinese Foreign Minister spokesperson Hua Chunying said, quote, Taiwan belongs to China, and the U.S. is in no position to make irresponsible remarks. The relevant remarks by the U.S. side seriously violate the One China principle and the stipulations of the three China-U.S. joint Communists can send an extremely wrong and irresponsible signal. They just shut down Ned Price. They just shut down America. And if I was Xi right now, I would put my amphibious units, my ships, into the islands of Pergolu, Latawa, and Lagania, which are right outside. There's small islands surrounding Taiwan. And I would, if I was Xi, I would take those islands and then wait for the American response. And then if there is none, which I suspect there would not be, then Taiwan is open for them there to take back.
Well, you know what? I don't, to me, and I could be wrong on this one, but to me, I don't think the Chinese want a sea battle or land battle. I don't think they do. And I think what happens is Taiwan puts up a really good defense with the islands, because it acts as a barrier and a buffer. And I think China would have to come in air by air, and they will. And,
well,
you know, Holger said, you know, they could drop a nuke on Taiwan. The only problem with that is it goes, you know, there was a Chinese general who said that they want to take the land of the United States, and they won't do it by nuclear means, because the nuclear contaminates the land.
Yeah.
And so
they don't need to.
Right, exactly.
And China doesn't need to do it. And by taking the islands,
they're
going to send them. Yeah, exactly. And they use non-kinetic means to do it, which is very interesting. But if they take these islands and the United States does nothing, the United States right now should be having ships going into the region and arming up Taiwan to stop anything and to send a message to Xi that if you do take these islands, you make a play for Taiwan, there's going to be repercussions. And if Biden does not do that, then it's going to send a signal, like I was saying earlier, to our European allies that we cannot be counted on. And that is very destabilizing to the whole area, and Boyd is 100% right.
Yeah, you know, the coward Biden will look to the UN. This is what I think he does. He immediately goes to the UN, and you see, that's his out, because he uses the UN as a beard. He attempts to save U.S. face by using the United Nations. The United Nations is not going to challenge China. They've already proven it with Hong Kong. You know, look how the Chinese were suppressing the Hong Kong movement for democracy. And and then suddenly the China virus gets released, and we saw the horrific videos of the citizens of Hong Kong, the Hong Kong protesters being beaten and water cannons used, and the Chinese military and the Chinese police were going in, and they were taking names, and they were absolutely pummeling the protesters who were carrying American flags. And then the China virus hits, and it hits even harder, and China goes ahead and imposes, you know, martial law with regards to the China virus. Now, they've only had 96,000 people infected. They've only had 4,600 deaths in China, yet they imposed a strict regulation with regards to being outside in Hong Kong. And boom, the whole democracy movement fell. It's gone. You don't hear nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And China walks in and takes Hong Kong without beating anybody else up after September of 2020? The UN did nothing. The UN did nothing. Joe Biden did nothing. The Biden-Harris-Obama regime did nothing. And they
and
can't
don't
be
think
trusted.
That nothing does, and, yeah, and don't think that nothing is not seen by President Xi.
Oh. Without
that
a doubt.
Nothing is fueling what we're seeing in Taiwan right now.
I mean, how sick is it? The United States spends $100 million on Bagram Air Force, on Bagram Air Base, excuse me, not Air Force Base, Bagram Air Base.
Mm-hmm.
And this feckless fraud abandons it. I mean, oh my God. I mean, we saw a precursor back in 2000, what was it, 2013, when the Obama-Biden regime, you know, fled Yemen, and they left behind, you know, American military wear, and they just abandoned, and they cut and ran, and now on a larger scale, they just cut and ran out of Afghanistan, and, yeah, and a strategic and air base to boot.
Yeah, and we just had 3 days of hearings on this exact subject. And I was listening to it, as most of America was, and the way that it was laid out was horrible. Each representative had 5 minutes to speak, including answers, 5 total minutes. You don't learn anything in 5 minute sound bites at all. It was a big joke. I got nothing out of it other than there's no blame, and President Biden is not going to hold any of these generals responsible because, well, I don't know. And they're not going to resign either, as they should.
No. Oh,
and why,
don't
I
get
guess, why should they resign? They're not going to
exactly.
get fired.
Exactly. You know, isn't it funny?
Giving up Bagram, I'm sorry. Giving up Bagram, like you said, militarily foolish. It was stupid.
It was. And again, was Joe Biden paying back President Xi? I mean, what was it, August 31st? What are we at, October 4th? 33 days? Less than 34 days? 33 days. And China now is flying into Bagram Air Base that the United States built. 33 days. I mean, this is the kind of disaster that Joe Biden is. Actually, let's get it straight. This is a disaster of the Biden-Harris administration. Harris is she's a feckless individual. She is an embarrassment. She's an embarrassment. Now they're prancing around TV and you know flipping coins at college football games, some sort of cooking show she was on, and she has her cackle and communist Kamala cackles and everybody laughs and. You know, in the meantime, China set a goal of 2027 as a time that they will take over the United States. And I guess, you know, it's like they put it on fast track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. It truly is. You know, China claims 4,600 deaths by the China virus, which they created, and we've got 719,000 deaths in America. And China started the thing. I mean, what the hell's going on here? What's going on? It doesn't make sense.
We're going down the fast road to Marxism, and this is and the Republicans aren't putting up any kind of a fight that I see. They may be behind closed doors, but I don't see it. Maybe the media is spiking them. So what? President Trump figured out how to use Twitter and Facebook to get around the media. Where's Rona McDaniel? She's awful quiet. Isn't she the spokesperson for the Republican Party?
Exactly. You know what? I'm going to tell you. This is what's really sickening. And thank you, Holger, for the story. Okay. So where is Rona McDaniel? Here you have DNC CNN. Under their CNN politics, releasing a story to smear Governor Kristi Noem. Now, why would you smear Governor Kristi Noem? What was the attempt of smearing Kristi Noem? Why? Because she's seen as a rising star in the Republican Party and a strong contender for the 2024 presidential election. She has administrative authority. She understands the issues. She certainly will be a formidable individual against bumbling Biden if, in fact, he survives that long. And, of course, communist cackles Kamala. I mean, communist Kamala can't hold a candle to Kristi Noem. But now the smear campaign has begun. You know, they're doing it against Ron DeSantis. And, of course, everything that DNC CNN does to slander, to libel, to smear Republican candidates, they do it by tying them to President Trump. But to make matters even worse and to show how sick the left-wing establishment is, they accuse Kristi Noem of having an affair with former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski.
Now, this is how sordid the Democrat Communist Party truly is. You know, they try to distract. They launch salvos, political salvos, to try to discredit an individual. And if you have supported Donald Trump, President Trump, in any way, shape, or form, it is the measure of the Democrat Communist Party to discredit you in any way they can, including launching false stories. And Bigfoot, you're right. McDaniel is related to Mitt Romney. That's his niece, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So where is Ronan McDaniel, the head of the Republican Party, to call out, to step out and say, enough is enough. We're not going to stand for this libel and slander that's coming from DNC, CNN, okay, in launching false stories that Governor Kristi Noem was having an affair with Corey Lewandowski. Why? Because she is a rising star inside the Republican Party. Why? Because she has been instrumental in South Dakota going maskless and to combating the China virus. She's been instrumental in making sure her state moves on and moves forward. Moving forward. In the meantime, you've got the DNC, CNN sitting there with a smear campaign against Kristi Noem, and Ronan McDaniel is silent. And Kristi Noem is a woman. What about the women issues, huh? All we hear about is, oh, well, women in America should be paid fairly. Women could do the same job. The progressive politics is to make sure that women are victim in America. Well, except, of course, if that woman is a successful governor on the Republican side. If that woman is a successful member of the House of Representatives but is a Republican. Okay. Suddenly, the women's issues don't apply. Kristi Noem is not afforded a fair shake by the pollution of progressive politics because she's a Republican. She's been labeled a conservative. She's been labeled a Trump supporter. So all bets are off now. It's okay to demean this woman. It's okay to disparage. It's okay to make up stories to malign this woman. All because she's seen as a threat in the next election. She has an election in 2022, a re-election bid in 2022. She should win that handedly. Now, cheating won't go as far as it will go in Florida, because down in Florida, Ron DeSantis will be running for re-election for governor. And you've got that progressive fraud, okay, that you want to talk about somebody who's milquetoast and spineless? Charlie Crist is coming out of the woodwork from the House. He's going to leave his House seat, which I doubt he will, but he is going to run for governor of Florida. Let me tell you something. Charlie Crist ran for governor and was elected governor after Jeb Bush in 2010, I believe it was. Charlie Crist was the worst governor in 50 years. You thought Bob Martinez was, eh? Charlie Crist was worse. Charlie Crist was an absolute failure. He's a spineless, milquetoast weakling. You think Biden is weak? Charlie Crist is weaker than Biden. But he's going to get the support of the Democrat Communist Party. Just like the Democrat Communist Party is supporting a Muslim Brotherhood jihadist up in Ocala, Florida, for mayor of Ocala. And so the Democrat Communist Party will use all their weapons and arsenal, one, to take down Ron DeSantis and to elevate once again Charlie Crist, who was a Republican and then fell off of that wagon when he saw the other side, when he saw the light on the other side and realized that he can create a political opportunity by being a Democrat. And he kissed the feet of one Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama. He abandoned small business in Florida. He abandoned free enterprise in Florida. And just like Charlie Crist does, he abandoned the people of Florida in 2014. He's a weak individual. He's a spineless individual, but he's a smooth talker.
And that's what the Democrat Communist Party will put up against Ron DeSantis. They came close in 2018 with Gillum. And Gillum almost did it. And they almost cheated their way into that race. But like Florida, Kristi Noem is on the hit list with the Democrat Communist Party. And now CNN is carrying the water to malign Kristi Noem. And there's absolute silence from Rona McDaniel with regards to the demeaning, the disparaging, the character assassination by DNC CNN. I mean, Noem is married. Husband's name is Brian. They've been married since 1992. They have three children. And the only thing Kristi Noem is guilty of is supporting President Trump in a pro-growth, a pro-American agenda. And that is contrary to the sordid swamp, the Democrat Communist Party's agenda. And they will do anything and everything they can to take this woman down. And suddenly, women's rights don't apply when it's a Republican who's successful. Whether that woman is Kristi Noem, or former governor of South Dakota and ambassador to the United States. What's her name? I forgot her name already. But, you know, here it is that the Democrat Communist Party is doing anything and everything they can to demean Republican women. And so the whole woman's causes that the Progressive Party promotes is phony. It's false. Because it shouldn't matter what the color of your skin is, or what political party you're with. If you're an intelligent woman and you are successful at your job, whether it's a legislator, whether it is a senator, whether it is a governor, you should be lauded for having the competence to do your job. And Kristi Noem is quite competent in doing her job. She doesn't take the garbage, you know, that's thrown at her. But I just find it absolutely sickening that CNN would make up these stories, okay? And Rona McDaniel doesn't call them out. She should be on every talk show talking about how sordid the Democrat Communist Party truly is. It's a disgrace what we're seeing today. If you support President Trump, the establishment looks the other way.
She should also be talking heavily about President Biden's pick for comptroller of the currency.
Oh.
This provoked sharp criticism for past and recent comments. On September 23rd, President Biden nominated Ms. Saul Omarova, a law school professor at Cornell University, for the office responsible with the regulation and supervision of all national banks. Omarova's nomination drew immediate pushback from powerful voices who criticized her background and past comments and indicated a favor for the policies of the USSR or Russia. Now, get this. Omarova was born in the Soviet Union in what is now called Kazakhstan and graduated from Moscow State University in 1989, and she is pointed to the USSR's practices as recently as 2019 when she tweeted about the gender pay gap, citing the USSR has a better model. Russia has a better model in the gender pay gap than the United States of America, and President Biden is stupid enough and idiotic enough and brazen enough to nominate her for this position, comptroller of the currency? Holy crap, this is the problem. Rona McDaniel's been silent on this, too, as far as I know. I haven't heard anything.
Haven't heard nothing. Nothing.
This is like the greatest story nobody's heard anything about. And the I can't believe this shit is happening department.
You know, I was wondering, I started using the term the Democrat Communist Party, and then I read the story in the Federalist Papers about this Saul Omarova, and what you said is absolutely. Now she's a law professor at Cornell University, so now she's at a
what you say, a prestigious university? Isn't Cornell part of the
time.
Cornell's yeah. part of that? They're in the same room as Harvard and Princeton and Brown, right? I mean, they're the same
yep.
Harvard Yards type. Okay. And so before she joined the Western Academia, you said that she graduated from the University of Moscow on the Lenin Personal Academic Scholarship. She's a communist.
She was a communist. On a scholarship. Lenin scholarship. That's rich.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And if you fall asleep at the wheel at all, if you fall asleep at the wheel, this is exactly what Sleepy Joe and the Democrat Communist Party are hoping for, is that you don't pay attention. And they put these anti-Americans, let's face it, she's anti-American. She's anti-constitutional. If you espouse, if you laud the University of Moscow, the Lenin way of life, you're wrong for America. You're wrong for America. I mean, this is incredible. So now we have a pay gap, okay, that still exists in today's world, okay? Say what you want about old USSR. There was no gender pay gap there. Market doesn't always know best. There was no pay gap in the USSR because everybody earned the same. The communist government told you what occupation you were going to work in. They told you, and they told you what you're going to wear. Now, when you went to the old Soviet Union, and the communists gave you two choices for clothing, either black or gray. I mean, that's it. There were no choices. I mean, give me a break. This woman is a communist, and this is the communist that is being appointed and being nominated by Joe Biden. An anti-constitutionalist.
Yeah, and if you don't think that the KGB doesn't know every person that's in higher education, because like you said, the people who have to choose what the government tells them what job they're going to do, okay, you're going to be a janitor, you're going to be a baker, you're going to be, I don't know, a salesman. They tell you what to do and what you're going to get paid, and then you do it. Now, if you're in the elite and you're going to the Moscow University, they know exactly who you are, especially if you got a scholarship to get there. That in itself shouldn't be allowed to even get any type of a security clearance.
Oh, exactly.
At all, period. Because you're likely, more than likely, to be an agent for the Soviet Union.
Do you think any one of the Soviet leaders gave a crap about gender neutrality, gender equality? do you really think? I mean, this is how naive they think the American people are. Do you think that Putin really cares about gender equality? Really, seriously? I mean, not one Soviet leader. And name one, Yuri Andropov. They didn't care about gender equality.
Maybe the Taliban and the Russians care about gender equality. Maybe about the same, I would say.
There you go. Yeah, the Taliban cares about gender equality. They want to know how many little jihadis can the woman sire, you know, from the jihadis. So this lady, okay. This Amarova, okay? You brought up a really good point about telling you about jobs, and I just remembered. So I have a couple of friends that lived in the Soviet bloc. They grew up under Soviet bloc country, and I'm not going to name the country. So when they were ready to graduate from school, they came of age. I've known this guy for 35 years. He said, that the teacher came in to the room and looked and went down the line and said, you're going to trade school. And he pointed to my friend, you're going to trade school. And the person that was sitting in back of him, you're going to medical school. You're going to trade school. You're going to trade school. You're going to be a mother. Look at the woman and said, you're going to be a mother. I mean, the communist style of government was to tell you exactly what you were going to be. Well, I don't want to go to trade school. I want to be a doctor. Nope. Yet. You're going to trade school. And you will learn to be a machinist. And he learned how to be carpentry. That's what it was. He ended up having to learn how to be a carpenter. And he wasn't Jewish either. But it's amazing. They came in, the communists came in and told each student what their plan was for post-school. So don't sit there and tell us that the Soviet Union had the perfect gender equality. They didn't care about gender equality. Do you think that they would allow a Black Lives Matter movement in the old Soviet Union? Do you think that they really cared what Gloria Steinem said with regards to equal pay and woman equality? They didn't care. They didn't care. The woman will work in that factory, in that auto factory, just like a man would. You're going to be a tire changer in our Yugo plant. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, it's just like in Cuba. You know, you think that Castro, that Cuban style of healthcare was great. Well, what do they have? They have 6 million people on the island, 3 million people on the island. They're getting money from the Soviet Union to fund, and they're oppressing their people. You can't own land, and you're sitting there trying to sell us how great it is, you know, how that lifestyle is. They're driving the 1950 discarded cars from America, and it's 1987. They're driving 50-year-old cars. They can't own more than one cow. And if they owned land, it was divided up by the government. It's the same thing in the Soviet Union. And for this woman, Omarova, to say that the Soviet style of banking is better than the United States style of banking, give me a break. Give me a break. This woman should be rejected and should be driven back to Cornell. Matter of fact, make her walk back to Cornell.
And we still haven't seen a single interview of any American who was airlifted out of Afghanistan. You know that? Just a ping pong back to Afghanistan.
Oh. You know, Colonel John said it the best. He's talking to him. And he said, did you notice that every day there was another 100 people, another 100 Americans stranded every day? You know, and they just used the number 100. Every time somebody spoke, well, we have 100 people. We have a little over 100. We have more than 100 people there. And every day it was another 100. So after 2 weeks, there's 2,400 people, Americans, that are still stranded that possibly we know of. And he thinks it's more like over 10,000 that are still stranded there.
Mm.
And that man knows Afghanistan.
Yeah. Well, Major General Christopher Donahue, he decided that he left 50 people who are likely dead now and on the way out of Afghanistan. He kicked 50 refugees that were legitimate refugees off one of the C-130s so he could take a war prize home, war booty, and a truck that didn't work with an anti-aircraft gun on it from the Taliban. And he just killed 50 people, and nobody's saying a word. You probably never even heard about this story.
Uh-uh. Never heard it.
No.
Never heard it.
Red State today, October 3rd, today. There's just all kinds of crap. New York City, if you don't get the shot and you're in the education system over there, you just lost your job today. That means if you're a policeman that gives security to a New York City school, you can't go into the school system if you're unvaccinated. If you're a teacher, you lost your job. If you're an administrator, you lost your job. If you're a cook, you lost your job. If you're a crossing guard, you lost your job.
Can I ask you this question then? Since all these people are losing their jobs and they fired nurses and they're firing doctors and, you know, they're firing in the medical staff and United Airlines fired 563 people, does that mean that the pandemic is over? I mean, if they don't need that many nurses now, remember, we're told that the medical field is overwhelmed and hospitals are sated with people with COVID. Like we have 28 beds and 23 of those we have 28 ICU beds and 23 of those ICU beds are COVID related occupants.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're firing all of these medical people and you're firing these school people, does that mean that the whole pandemic is over?
I don't know. No, it'll never be over because it's an influenza virus. It's like the flu. It'll come back and mutate every year. It just does. That's what this thing does. So, I don't know. But you know what's still not making headlines? I got to repeat it again from last week. The Arizona audit that we heard so much about, they couldn't find the identity of 86,391 voters. They don't appear to exist, and 73.8% are Democrat or no party affiliation. That means that there were 86,391 votes that were cast from people who don't appear to exist. 73.8% of those are Democrat or no party affiliation. And the mainstream media is telling, and the mainstream media has the balls to tell us that, it came up inconclusive, the Arizona audit. We're getting gaslighted, folks.
Wait a minute.
Called gaslighting. Yeah.
How many total vote? How many total was there that were in question? Hold on a second. What was the total?
86,391.
391. Okay. And then didn't you say that 73% of those are Democrat registered votes?
Or no party affiliation.
Okay. So 86,391 times 73%, that's 63,065 votes. And Biden won by 12,000 votes in Arizona, was it?
Yes, 10,000, somewhere in there, 10, 11, 12, who knows.
And Biden got 81 million votes? Uh-huh. Hey, I got some swamp land in Florida that I'm not going back to, I can sell you. Holy
that
shit.
That should be top of the news page for days upon days upon days. The 500 plus Americans left for dead in Afghanistan should be days upon days of the front news. They should be calling, the media would have been calling Trump a murderer. Hell, they would have been calling him a murderer of small children for that one drone strike, over the horizon drone strike that took out a vendor for the United States government, a guy on the U.S. government payroll who was getting water for his family. Killed 10 of the family members. It was a bad strike, bad intel. 7 children killed. They would have been calling Trump a murderer. But nothing but crickets, again.
Nothing.
I mean,
you know what?
We could probably, if we put our mind to it, we could put up a list, probably 20 events that the media would have just literally run Trump out of town. And rightfully so if he had done just even the 4 that I just mentioned. He should be gone. I don't know.
Well,
what's happening to our republic?
Well, it's being taken over by the Marxists, by the communist movement, and I really do think that Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama is behind it, and you know, after Claire Lopez made available Prairie Fire,
which was written by Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn and some other Marxist communists in the 1970s, early 70s.
Yeah.
And then you have Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers launching the political career of one Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. You see where this whole political scheme is going. The tearing down of our republic, the reckless abandonment of laws in the United States, and it's the unilateral decisions by one lion Joe Biden with regards to issuing edicts. I mean, he's tyrannical. He's acting as a dictator. Mm-hmm. Little Joe is acting as a dictator. The drone strike that killed 7 children. You know, that's a really good, that's a good example, Al, that you asked, because President Trump had a targeted drone strike that took out, what was it, Qassem Soleimani. I targeted drone strike at the back end of an airport. Okay, not in a residential setting. Okay, and the media went absolutely nuts over it. Nancy Pelosi made sure that the DNC media had heart palpitations over it. In the meantime, Soleimani was responsible for killing American soldiers. Soleimani was responsible for killing Americans in Iraq. Soleimani was a bad jihadist. And President Trump made sure that when that strike occurred, that there were no civilians around. Contrast that to the drone strike by bumbling Joe Biden, who lied. Biden lied. Biden stated that no civilians were killed. It was a targeted drone strike. And it was 2 weeks after that drone strike that it finally came out that 10 people were killed. They were all civilians, and 7 of those 10 were children.
And there were secondary explosions.
Yeah, secondary explosions. And the media continues to cover for this fraud Biden. And see, this is the sick part of this whole thing. They wanted Trump out so bad that they made mountains out of molehills. And all President Trump was guilty of was being pro-American and looking after America's national interest. And Biden has sold America's national interest. And the DNC media whores have sold their soul to the pollution of progressive politics. And they're being compensated handsomely, though. You know, if this $3.5 plus trillion spending spree goes through, $1.3 billion of it goes to the media. It behooves them not to spike stories and not to cover, you know, this feckless old fraud in the White House, this chump that's in the White House.
Well, they were doing it to cover for him because President Biden at that time, this over-the-horizon attack capability of the United States military, that was the new term that the media was putting, over-the-horizon attack, which means that even though we're out of Afghanistan, we can still attack the Taliban and Islamic jihadis at will from over-the-horizon. So they pushed that through, and he needed to have an over-the-horizon attack so he could tell the American people that it works. And that, and he did it, and he ended up killing a family and went horribly wrong. Period. That's the story. Never got the media spiked it for all intents and purposes, or they lied about it. And they did lie about it. The military lied about it. Hey, do we have any Christians in the room here?
Maybe.
Do we? Yeah, we got a few. Well, in Nigeria, Muslim jihadis screaming Allahu Akbar murder 4 Christians, including a Catholic priest, this week in Nigeria. And this is another story that on a weekly basis, 1 or 2. You won't hear anything about that in the news either.
Nope.
This time a Catholic priest murdered along with 4 other Christians. Disgusting.
Well, you didn't hear anything about a Catholic priest being beheaded in France. I mean, it didn't make the story. Didn't make the news. It made Jihad Watch. And again, this the story you just mentioned, it made Jihad Watch.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere else. Nowhere else.
Yeah.
Where's the
Pope?
So
what can you do? Yeah, I don't know. When you go to church this Sunday, bring this story. Look it up. Bring this story to your pastor, your priest, your spiritual advisor, and say, hey, this is a problem. We have our own Christian brothers and sisters being murdered. You need to talk about this. You have an obligation as a religious leader to tell the flock about what is happening to our brothers and sisters. That's something you can do.
But Islam
is a religious
peace.
Everybody wants to do something. Yeah, even if you don't belong to a church, you're going to pass a church sometime during the week. Walk in and say, hey, I saw this article. You need to talk about it to your people. Why are you so silent? I guarantee you, you will feel empowered and good. So that's your marching orders. I want everybody who does it to call back next Monday and tell me what happens, because I'd be very interested to hear.
I mean, Al, now you're asking a question that not even the press had carried the story about communist Kamala Cackles Harris when she praises the student who accused Israel of ethnic genocide.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, my
one.
God. How does that not make the front page? How does that not make the news? I know the DNC controls the news, but how does that not make the news?
And she's married to a Jewish man.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It took place, so the exchange takes place at George Mason University in, of all places, Fairfax, Virginia. And there's no pushback from communist Kamala. Matter of fact, she tells the student to keep, you know, to stick with her belief and her, the truth. Stick with her truth. There's no truth to Israel committing ethnic genocide. That is a left-wing talking point. That is a Palestinian Gazan talking point. And for the vice president of the United States to even give that person air? Believable. Harris did not directly address the student's accusations, but said she was glad that she was not afraid to come forward with her grievances. This is about the fact that your voice, your perspective, how slanted it is, skewed, your experience, your truth should not be suppressed, and it must be heard, right? Oh, okay. So Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic, his perspective, his voice, his truth is now being suppressed because he believes that he's not going to get vaccinated. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different topic altogether. Okay. So, and
suppressed
one of the things we're fighting, it's being vilified.
Suppressed, right? And vilified. Yeah.
And then, of course, communist Kamala goes off on the democracy thing. And one of the things we're fighting for in a democracy, right? Harris said, our goal should be unity, but not uniformity, right? What the hell does that mean? Harris stated, the vice president then added, unity should never be at the expense of telling anyone personally that for the sake of unity, or, oh, you be quiet about that thing. You suppress that thing. Let's not deal with that thing. That's not unity. True unity is everyone in the room has a voice. She then touched, once again, that pluralism should be cherished, but once again did not take the opportunity to call out the accusations of genocide. What a pathetic woman. What a pathetic woman. This is the person who was picked as the vice president of the United States. That, how sad. How sad. And how anti-Semitic that Harris is. Communist Kamala is pathetic. This is how much of a lightweight she is. No wonder why she can't go to the border. No wonder why she just, oh my God. What a pathetic little woman.
She's an evil hater of the state of Israel, because all she had to come back and say, the truth is that 20% of the Israeli population are comprised of Arab Israelis. Israelis. Muslim Arab Israelis, maybe a few Christian Arabs in there too, but it's mainly Muslim Arab Israelis. That is not a genocidal state. A genocidal state is now the Taliban.
Exactly.
But no, she empowered this anti-Semite. And yeah, it is disgusting. Our guy is right. It is disgusting, and she is a disgrace.
I just, there are no bounds with this
with this communist regime that's in the White House today? I mean, for communist Kamala to talk about your truth, I mean, that is a pathetic and a coward's way out. And, you know, all the, she gave a politically correct answer, or tried to be, and the continued part of unity. And when this government, with this administration, the Biden-Harris-Obama administration now, is making the unvaccinated into the 21st century lepers, that's unity? That's not unity. I mean, these elitists, these Marxists, these communists that have infiltrated our government are sitting here destroying, dismantling our constitutional republic. And now she disparages the state of Israel, the only true democracy in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, two quick things. Congratulations to Bubba Wallace for winning the NASCAR Talladega. Kudos
Bubba
to
Wallace
him.
Didn't.
And
no, he
did. Rain short in NASCAR Talladega race.
I thought it was a different guy who won.
I don't know. That's the headline. But anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, prayers to Ron DeSantis' wife, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So we send the prayers out to the DeSantis family and hope that she has a very quick and satisfactory recovery.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very sad news, man. That's very sad. So, you know, God bless her. And then, of course, God bless G-Ski, you know. Let's hope that, I don't know how he's doing. But, I stand corrected, man. You're right. I didn't think it was him. I thought it was number 68 car that won. My apologies.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Well, no, it's confusing. It's confusing because they had a rain delay, and then they stopped the race early because of rain. So it was kind of a weird win.
Yeah, the number 68 car is always the winner. That's what I left with, the 68 won. Now mm-hmm. looking up here, Bubba Wallace. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was politically correct, so they got the right results that they needed. God
right.
almighty.
No news. No news in his garage.
Hey, tomorrow night we have Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric's in the house, too. Welcome, Eric. Nice to see you. Wednesday, we've got Hank Jones at Poly Sports at 5:30. I will be sitting in and hosting Hank's show, so please join us. We'll be talking politics and sports. I've been instructed I have to talk about college football, so if you want to come in, and hopefully Hank's brother and T. Bodie and a couple others will be calling in and bailing me out on college football. Thursday,
what time will you be on?
5:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's
I'll
Hank's 25th anniversary, so we gave him the night off. What an excuse. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. He's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Simon Dakduk in the Straight Way of Grace Ministry with the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. And Sunday, Eric from the Pharisees back with Cross and the Crescent with the Real Interfaith Dialogue. Check out Eric's show. It is the Real Interfaith Dialogue. You'll learn about Islam. You'll learn about Christianity. No smoke and mirrors and no political correctness. Monday, I'll be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out G-Ski and Dave's Airwaves America, 7 p.m. on Fridays. I think Dave's going to have a show on Friday. I'm not 100% sure. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie and Curtis, Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. And if you want a break from politics and Islam, you got Simone Nicole's show, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. And then Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, AudreyRusso.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Al, any parting shots before we go?
Thanks for listening and spending your Monday evening with us. Adios, amigos.
Yes, be aware of your surroundings, and God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and putting up with me and Al. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Monday right here. And, man, strap on the boots. Who knows what bumbling Biden's going to do. Ciao, everybody. right on time. Hey, I'm sorry about the NASCAR thing. I watched the interview with the number 68 driver, and it's like, now when you said that Bubba won, it was like, holy crap, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, it was a weird race. It was it was unusual, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy stayed out of accidents. I mean, oh man, I feel bad now. Shit.
Why? Why do you feel bad? No big deal.
I was like, man, I guess I fell asleep. I must have went to bed too early. No, I was watching the. I turned it over to the PGA. I was watching the rest of the Sanderson Farms tournament. And man, I'll tell you, that Sam Burns is just what a golfer, man. That guy's got a swing on him. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught bits and pieces. I didn't sit down and watch it for any length of time, which I'm disappointed. But
well, it was hard to because you know what happened was you had the LPGA was on first, and I was watching that as well. In between mowing the lawn, but the LPGA was on, and I was really surprised. NB Park, she couldn't make a putt to save her life at the end, and the lady from France won, so she won her second tournament, first time she won in America, so she won that prestigious tournament for the LPGA. She played really well, came from behind to take the lead, and then turn it back to the PGA, and all of a sudden. Sam Burns, you know, he's four in the par, and he's got a two-shot lead. It's like, what the heck? And then just watching him come down the stretch and just freaking tattooing that ball. Oh, my God. Oh, off the tee.
Oh. We didn't talk about Bryson DeChambeau with the long drive competitions either.
Oh, did you
watch
any of that?
Put that on the map. Oh, did I? Yes. Absolutely. Well, I saw the highlights. I didn't... Because it was only on YouTube, I think. They had highlights on ESPN, which were lame. Talking to a friend who saw it on YouTube, telling me all about it. But, yeah.
Golf Channel carried it.
Huh?
The Golf Channel had it. So, The Golf Channel, in between tournaments on Saturday and Sunday, they were going to Las Vegas, and they were showing DeChambeau's competition. They showed it from 32 to 16 to 8.
Okay.
And, oh, my God, Al, all of a sudden, you know, some of these guys were just bombing the ball, and, you know, DeChambeau, I got to tell you, this is what's really impressive to me. They got six balls to hit, okay?
In 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
2 minutes, 30 seconds. So the long drive competition guys, they were getting one and two in the grid. One guy didn't get any in the grid at all, okay? All six shots went out. And DeChambeau, one, two, three, four, five in the grid, four in the grid. I mean, he was hitting 380-yard-plus drives in the grid. Not once, not twice, three and four times. He hit one. He started screaming, you know, as those guys do after he hit. And, you know, you knew it was going to be long. 417 yards.
Yeah.
And the official was 416. It was like, holy crap. Holy crap.
Can you imagine? I mean, the average par four is anywhere from 350 to 400 yards.
Yeah, I mean, 400. So even if it's 440-yard par four, which seems to be a 430, 440 yards seems to be a standard par four today.
Right,
in the
PGA. I was talking a normal course at the up tees for, I don't know, member tees.
The senior qualifier. For the U.S. Senior Open?
Yep,
the shortest
the par...
shortest par four for the seniors, and that's 50 and above. The shortest par four was 396 yards.
Right.
That was the shortest.
Right. So from the back tees, you're 100% correct. So.
Yeah, but in the senior tournaments, they don't really have they have maybe one or two 400 yards. There was 457, 439,
437, 420, 410, 414. And it was like, holy crap. And then 198 par 3, 189 par 3. I mean, so even the seniors are still being challenged. And then DeChambeau comes up with 400 with 300-400 yard drives.
How do you hit a ball that far? And all the guys are using the same balls, are using the Volvix. So
yes, correct.
They're keeping that consistent, which is good. Yep. And all the clubs are regulation.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. He hits what I think a 4 or 5 degree driver is what he's hit.
Yeah. I mean, you know how long that is? That's like 400 yards. That's long.
I know. I mean, it's huge.
And they were doing the 380s into the wind because there's a slight breeze coming at them. Now, granted, the air's a little thinner up in Vegas, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, like you said, though, into the wind.
Yeah.
386
so thin
yards.
Thin air, maybe an extra. Yeah, still. That's just so.
Oh, man. One guy next to him in one of the heats, I think it was it was the 16. So they were going in four.
He popped out.
Oh, yeah. My God. He fell right to the ground. Oh, my God. And the funny thing was the other three players, they were just looking at him, but they had – the clock was still ticking, so they had to finish. So, sadly, I mean, the guy's sitting there writhing in pain, rolling on the ground, and they're having to finish their six shots.
Well, yeah, he's next to DeChambeau.
Yes, he was in the, correct. You saw that?
In the next lane. Yes, DeChambeau, he lost his concentration because he wanted to help the guy. That was his instinct, was to help him. And then, but he had to go back to hitting the balls, and he did. But still, it threw him. That series, I think that definitely threw his concentration off. But yeah,
I know. It's like, holy crap! I'm like, man, that guy went down quick. He went down. Oh,
yeah. His knee must have just popped right out. But I tell you, those guys, I don't know how their backs are going to survive. I mean, but some of these guys, they're specialists. That's what they do, is a long drive competition. And then DeChambeau came in, and he elevated the whole sport. And we were talking about it the other day. He's elevated the sport. He was a gentleman with the other competitors, and he knew that he was bringing a lot more. Notice to the game, to the long drive competitions, and he was making it about the other guys, not so much about him, even though everybody was paying attention to him. I thought that was very cool.
I agree with you. That I 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah, he didn't win friends easy because he's kind of a dick, but.
Yeah, and he didn't make it about him, and he was giving people. He was giving people the time. He was taking pictures with them. He was fist bumping guys, and I mean, it was kind of cool to see. It was genuine with him.
Yeah.
At least you felt the same thing, huh?
Yeah, that's what I picked up from watching the tapes. Yeah.
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 It wasn't
put on, or his PR guy didn't say to him, well, don't, you got to do that. It's like you said, it was natural. I saw a guy having fun, trying something new and having fun with it, and not making it about himself, but making it about the other players that really don't, the competitors that really don't get much attention, quite frankly.
Yeah, he respected the other people's sport that he came into.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you 100% on that one. I was very, very impressed by him.
Yeah, kind of like what Michael Jordan did when he went into baseball. He didn't go right to the majors. He went to the farm team first and had to prove himself.
Right.
And he wasn't a dick. He was very respectful of the other players, from what I remember.
He was, and he was a superstar. He was a superstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, did the press beat him up. He had a hard start. He wasn't he didn't do real well his first year. And he caught a lot of shit in the media, but he persevered.
He couldn't hit a curveball.
Sure, he didn't make it, but how many people make it into the bigs?
No, very, very few. Very few.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It took the gambling issue off the front page. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Hey, everybody's got a vice.
Yeah, that's right. Oops.
Forgot about that. That was good. You got to talk about that on Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Michael Jordan. I think, you know, that's one of the old-time – those old-time guys, Jordan and Bird and McHale. And, I mean, that's an era that, you know, I don't think we'll see again. I was quite impressed, though, with the press conference by this Jonathan Isaac. I watched,
yes,
you know, like four or five different videos to pick the right one. And every time I listened to the man, I really liked what he – you know what? I don't care what his politics is. And that's one thing I looked at. I don't care what his politics is. But he was really articulate. And it was really refreshing to hear somebody, you know, make a case. And he wasn't going to be bullied or intimidated. And it was just, you know, he gave you a lot of thought.
Mm-hmm. And then when LeBron, the dick, even backed him on it. Now,
oh, did he?
The Oh, yeah. He said, yeah, I respect what he said. And now the Democrats are scrambling because they see their whole, I don't know, I think they see this as maybe a tipping point because you got an NBA player challenging them. I don't know. I got a sense that they're a little bit nervous right now with all this COVID bullshit.
I agree with you. I agree 100%. That's why when I looked at the stands and watching the football games on Saturday, I was looking at the stands, and by God, every freaking stadium was packed. And that's not good. That's sending the wrong message. I mean, they got to be scrambling in Washington, D.C. They have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, people are tired of this. They don't want to be controlled anymore and micromanaged by an oppressive, you know, government, by a tyrannical government. And it's exactly what we have right now.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that it's not real, okay? You know, people have gotten the virus. You and I both know people who have gotten the virus.
And it's nasty.
And, it's nasty, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But when the doctors say, here's Tylenol, go home, and then if you get worse, come back to the emergency room.
It's
reckless, and I think that's what killed a lot of people. And I heard that from two or three different people that's how they were treated when they went to the emergency room. They didn't put them on ivermectin. They didn't put them on any of the prophylactics. They just said, here's Tylenol. Go home if you get worse.
Yep.
They didn't put them on prednisone so they wouldn't have blood clots, which they knew about. And all these drugs have been FDA approved for God knows how long. That, to me, is criminal, and that's never really come out. But anyway, that's a whole thing.
Well, no. You know what? Don't poo-poo that. There's a lot of credibility to that statement right there. You know what? There's a lot to be said for that because we've talked about it. How do you not, in all good conscience, how do you not treat patients with the proper therapeutics, all because ivermectin costs 20 cents a pill and putting somebody on a ventilator, you know, rears what? I don't know. Maybe it rears about $7,000 a day in some hospitals. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. That's
hypocritic oath.
Yes.
Do no harm.
I don't know. That's why something's just not right with this whole thing. And then when you see the stadiums now packed with people, it's got to give the powers to be in Washington, D.C. agita. They have to be reeling from this. Honestly, I just think they don't know what to do. And I think they're fearful that the American people are starting to empower themselves, and they don't like it.
Yep. One thing I read is, I guess this this order for the what the hell was it? That the mayors can go ahead and they can do whatever they want. All these mandates that they couldn't do before. I think it's it goes on a 90-day cycle.
Okay.
That this has to be renewed every 90 days, but I don't know if that's right or not. I shouldn't be talking about it because I don't know. But I don't think it's going to last till the election. If this is any indication, I don't think it's going to last. And that's maybe what's giving them a little bit of concern and the uneasiness, because they need it to continue going into November 2022 to get the mail-in ballots, which is exactly that Arizona story. That's how they're going to win it.
That's correct. I agree 100% on that. They are going to use the mail-in ballot initiative once again, and they're going to scare the living shit out of people. And that's why they come up with these new variants now. And they won't call the variants from where they're derived from. They're calling them the MU strain. They're calling them the Delta strain, you know. And it's just it's just very, very deceptive.
Mm-hmm. God, what's happening to our republic? This is not the America I know and love.
Well, the Marxists got in power. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is with our republic.
9 months. These fuckers turned everything in nine short months.
Yep. And you and I are the bad guys now.
Oh, boy. Some of my friends have gotten nasty.
Really?
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a really heated conversation the other night with a buddy of mine.
Ooh.
And it wasn't good.
With regards to what, vaccination?
Well, yeah, with the vaccine. He was saying that we have another mutual friend who has, they have dinners at their house maybe once a month, once every other month, and they invite people from different lines of work, professors and doctors and just different people to have interesting conversation. And I was invited to a few of them, and then another friend went. That mutual friend who's anti-vax to the hilt. And anyway, my friend was telling me that my not being vaccinated is that I tell everybody like I'm Joe Rogan, is how he worded it. And I said, look here. He said that I tell everybody with enthusiasm, kind of like with enthusiasm, that I'm bragging. And bragging that I'm not vaccinated to anybody who will listen. And I said, I don't know where you get that from. I said, I've only told a few people. You and the guy I was talking to, I said, you're one of them. And I said, I never told this other woman that I wasn't vaccinated. And so I guess this guy is saying that I do that, which is a lie. And that's what kind of started. It kind of hit a nerve.
Oh my God! Yes,
he was bad-mouthing my other friend, and I said I know the lady whose house you're at, and we've been friends for years, a very nice lady. I said, did she ask the people that she invited if they were vaccinated or unvaccinated? And he goes, no. And I said, well, y'all were discussing that topic at dinner, and my other friend was talking why he wasn't vaccinated, and it freaked out the woman because she wants everybody vaccinated. And she's a Republican to boot, but she's older and very frayed. And then my other friend read that as him bragging, and I'm like, where are you getting all this?
Oh, my God.
It was weird. It was a total weird conversation. Usually I just let stuff run off from this guy, but boy, he hit a nerve. And then I figured, you know what? I think he represents a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he does.
This guy's like he's an associate professor at a major university. He's no dummy.
Oh, my God.
And he's conservative.
Well, we have a mutual friend that
was disinvited by his own children and his his siblings to Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get vaccinated, and he has the virus, he has the antibodies. He tested positive.
Same thing as that. Yeah. Same thing as the Isaacs guy. Oh, I forgot to tell you, when they were all kneeling for the national anthem in the NBA.
Yeah.
Well, all the Magic had on their Black Lives Matters T-shirt, and there was one guy standing up with his hand over his heart, and it was that guy Isaacs, Jonathan Isaacs.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it when you were talking about it. I forgot to add that little factoid.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder why he's being railroaded and taken to the woodshed.
Yeah.
Huh. Uh-oh, how dare he go outside that what would you call it, politically correct box?
Yeah, crazy. All right, I'm going to go eat some dinner.
All right, man, have a good one, and have a good evening. Be safe out there.
All right, talk to you later. Great week.
Thank you.
That's all, folks.
Bye, sir. Thank you, Music Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.